What's up, it's Coolie Chana.
How many more licks will it take till I get to the Senegada? Cause I've been at it since about the past 18.
Yo, this is your boy Ricky Rich. Oh, I love a Zulu girl. Oh, I say, oh, 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 I love a Zulu girl.
This is Quest F. Deca.
All the stars. All the hits. This is Majima's Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the weekday shake here on the Madiba's Radio Podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. And of course, you're back with the iconic duo
that's right, the century.
My name is Gloria Telondlova. I like to call myself the brightest star on the airwaves. And I'm not alone. Of course, I'm with the icon herself.
Of course, the celeb. Yeah, that's right. Hi, Shakers. It's your girl, Uyanda Mliwo, with another episode of the weekday shake right here on Madiba's Radio. Very, very excited for the conversation that we are going to have today.
Literally, because it's so like informative and it's like so, I feel like it's very important.
It definitely is.
It's a lot. So of course today we are speaking, we're taking it local when it comes to universities and student life. And in as much as, you know, we all want to live our own grownish type of vibe of like going to campus, squads, good times. Unfortunately, we cannot escape the issues.
Yeah.
And I feel like the issues always need to be addressed, because with all these issues that are plaguing us, if we don't face them, then we have to take action. I do love how a lot of university students across Africa are taking actions when they feel that they're being, and when maybe the system is not being just to them. Because recently, actually, the University of Fort Hare saw a wake of violent students' protests that led to a complete shutdown of its major campuses in Alice in the Eastern Cape. Now, according to EWN, there's been reports of certain administration and student affair buildings have been burnt down, with reparations estimated between 250 to 300 million rand.
Now, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. That's like, I'm just like,
ooh. Yeah.
Now, the reason why they went to the street, they went to go and protest, was due to the fact that higher management, the decision made by them to disallow this year's SRC elections and appoint an interim SRC, together with management's decision to amend the student government's constitution without student representation, which is like, okay. And like, not only that, multiple organizations such as the Select Committee on Education, Sciences and Creative Industries and the struggle veterans Oliva Tambo's daughter Nomathemba Tambo have since condemned these actions, because listen, as they stated, there's nothing wrong with being radical or swimming upstream, but you must understand the consequences that your actions will lead. We don't have the luxury to give up on South Africa. We must make it work here because we have a great country. But that's a beautiful quote, actually.
It is. Because, very powerful statement.
Because at the end of the day, it just shows how, like, we can't give up.
We have to continue.
And if it means, you know, having to fight for what we feel is being played against us, then we need to do what we want to do.
We need to do something, because it really is amazing to see the youth take a stand and to see injustice and say, hey, that's not on. You can't do that.
True.
And to actually do something about it.
Because even also in UFS, there was another strike as well, where basically what's happening, they strike because in the 2026 year, they are kind of like taking away like provisional registration.
Yeah.
Which is like, why would you do that?
It's going to disadvantage so many students who then won't be able to continue with their academic pursuits because they won't be able to register. It is absolutely ridiculous. But yet again, it is amazing to see the youth not just stand by and say, okay, what you say goes, and to actually try and do something about it.
Definitely. And I do feel like it's encouraging because, yes, we like in these two like instances, it is happening like in other provinces, but even here in NMU, like if you didn't see, was it Monday or Wednesday?
I cannot remember which day it was.
But one of the days when there was that protest
yes.
against the whole, what happened at the Summer Strand student accommodation.
Yeah.
Like that was actually like, what happened there was really tragic. And it's so amazing to see how we as students took a stand and were like, no, like something needs to change.
Exactly, because there have been countless times where students would raise issues, excuse me, about how unsafe we feel at these accommodation places, how we feel like there should be more security measures to just protect students. And it's really, really unfortunate that an incident like this had to happen. But yet again, we're literally not just taking it and trying to influence something to happen, because things do need to change.
Definitely, they do need to change, because at the end of the day, like, oh, it's so tragic to see that, like, all we just want is an education.
We're just trying to get these degrees, get these jobs. But I see what you were saying also with how, like, we'll come into university with hopes and expectations that, you know, it's going to be like my little grownish life.
You know?
Going to hit the cafe. I'm going to go out with the girls. I'm going to do this. And then the reality of the actual struggles that students face, it is, yeah, I don't even have a word to try and explain, like, what I'm trying to say, because we see so much, we hear so much from our peers, we see so much on social media as well. And I think social media has been really great in exposing some of the things that happens, that happen across universities, across the country, and just knowing that these are issues that students are facing and continuing to have conversations about, okay, what are we going to do about that? Mm. What are we going to do to fix this? Because this shouldn't be normal. Some of the things we're experiencing, this should not be happening at all.
Like, it shouldn't. But would you say, like, in regards to, like, social media, do you think, like, social media acts as a good thing all the time, or does it have, like, negative impacts regarding, like, making awareness and taking action?
I think it's both. I think that it's great to raise awareness about issues, to share information, to educate each other. But there is always, like, some negative aspects of anything, really, where maybe sometimes it's not used in good light. And maybe sometimes it's used as a tool for misinformation. But I'm not going to say just because these bad things do happen on social media platforms that it in itself isn't helpful and it isn't beneficial. Yeah.
I get you indeed. Because it reminds me of this time, like, regarding the Summer Strand tragedy. I remember seeing on Facebook, there was this Facebook post where somebody was commenting on, like, for example, the tragedy, and they decided to be very xenophobic, and I was just like, why?
You see, there are always going to be people who misuse platforms, and, you know, maybe they're not helping the situation.
True, and I feel like that's where social media can be a bit dangerous, because now it's like, okay, firstly, like, who allowed them to post this? Secondly, now it's like you're feeding into hateful narratives and, like, taking something that's been so tragic, and instead of mourning it and making awareness, now where you're, like, just trying to push another agenda. Hey.
And it is also unfortunate where in those cases, sometimes the main cause, like, you kind of not forget about it, but it gets pushed to the back line.
True.
And now we're all focusing on this hate. We're trying to fight about who's what, and we're forgetting what we're actually supposed to be doing. You know what I mean?
Fighting the system.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like with all these cases, I think what links them together is the aspect that it's all coming from students against the varsity. And I guess it points to that greater question of, do they really have our backs, or are we just money schemes to them?
Is this an institution that supports students, or is this just a business?
Yes. Hey,
I don't know. Sometimes it does feel like it is students against the university. But I do know that it's always students' university against an issue. I feel like as students, because we have representatives, we have councils that do work with the management of universities to try, you know, solve issues. But I also understand sometimes it just does not feel like that.
True, especially when students themselves are saying, like, listen, NMU's against me, or Vits is against me. And it's just like, why? Well, not say why, but it's just like, it points the question on the system. And it's just like, but at the same time, I do feel like we also shouldn't, as you said, erase the good things that the institutions have done.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they do respond to our, like, calls and our needs and, like, try amongst their means, because sometimes it's not even just the university, they also have to report to the department. And, you know,
they can't just do things because they feel like doing things, which is why I keep saying, but it in my heart of hearts, it's the students and the university versus the problems, and everyone will collaborate to work towards solving whatever's going on. But in reality, sometimes it does feel like the institutions do let students down in one way or another. So maybe there are faults in the system somewhere, and people are definitely falling through the cracks. But yeah.
It's really tragic when you think about it, actually. But and I feel like it's also motivating to see that, you know, we are taking action, and we are just like saying, like, listen, all for one, one for all.
Yeah.
Wait, did you watch that Barbie movie? All for one. One for all.
No. Yeah. It's not ringing a bell.
It's okay. But we all in this.
Yes,
ticket.
That one, yeah, I can that do.
One. That one we could do. So it's like, I feel like I love the mentality that we have where it's like, we're all in this together. Just because you're facing an issue, that doesn't mean you got to face it alone.
Yeah.
We'll fight for you.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. It's a very beautiful thing. And it just points back to the question of like, the education system as a whole. Like, is it time for us to kind of change it and just be like, you know what, let's start over, let's have a new system? Or it's just like, is the current system all right, but it just needs a few tweaks here and there?
Actually, I want to hear from you. What do you think?
You know, I'm divided. Because on the one end, I do feel like, you know what, let's do it for the plot. Flip the whole thing. Because clearly this is not working out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do feel like there's... the education system in of itself, in theory, some of the like the policies and legislations and what all of these like varsities and higher institution places stand for, it's like, okay, I see the vision. It's actually like, if you really think about it, you want the best for everybody, including themselves and the students. Yeah. I just feel like the execution sometimes is tricky. And as you said, where it's like students and the university versus the system.
Yeah.
I do feel like sometimes the university also is trying its best. But if the system, if the larger thing at the whole is being like, hey, what can happen?
It's tricky.
But I want to hear from you. Like, what do you think?
I don't know. I'll be so honest. Like, I really don't know. I think it also, like, personally, I know this isn't the greatest thing, but I feel like I have a very limited understanding about how the actual education system works. Mm. Like, I have a basic idea of the structural things and the processes and the policies and everything.
Mm.
But from the little that I do think I understand, I feel like there's hope. I feel like there's hope. I don't know what a reform would look like entirely if we were to like switch everything up, but I feel like, you know, this thing has been around for quite some time. Obviously, I'm not saying it's perfect. There are some things that do need to change, but I don't know.
Like, it's like there is hope. Like,
there's hope.
Like, I feel like
the optimism inside of me, but I feel like there's something there.
True. Like, we'll get there someday.
Yeah.
And like, speaking of like education, it reminds me of that time where UCT actually recently decided that, listen, when it comes to AI detection, they're cutting it. They're just like, no more turn it in, no more other AI detecting things on essays and assignments. And I feel like them like taking that bold action, because it was also like stemmed from a university abroad.
Yeah.
And how they're like, listen, these AI tools are kind of disadvantaging students rather than helping them in terms of marking and stuff like that.
I get that.
And I guess now like AI is like something that's very, it's part of our lives now.
Yeah,
like,
there's no escaping it at this point. Unfortunately, it is everywhere. It is in everything that we do, especially in education. And I remember I read an article a few months back. It's pretty, I don't remember who was writing it or who published it, but it was talking about how having these AI detection tools and not educating students, specifically university students, about how these things work puts them at a disadvantage, because they're going to leave the university space knowing a certain way and then possibly enter into job fields or job markets where they're expected to be able to use some of these tools in one way or another, which was very interesting.
Because I feel like in the beginning when AI was still coming around, I feel like most like academics were just like, don't ever use it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the devil. And it's just like, now it's so interesting to see that the tables are turning now, where it's like, it's not a criminal thing to use AI now.
Yeah.
But I guess it's the question of like using it ethically.
Yeah.
Because
institutions really are pushing for AI integration. But it's how? Like, how do we encourage students to use these tools or to do whatever, but still maintain the quality of the people who will walk out and say, we graduated from this university and this? How do we make sure that people are using these tools ethically? I don't know.
It's a tough question.
I don't know.
I guess, like, more conversations like this need to happen because we don't know. We don't know. But, like, in your experience, like, what has been your overall experience / relationship with AI? Are you the type of student that's like, you know, AI, like, or you'd stop thinking, like, you know, I work with it well in an ethical way?
In the beginning, really, I was against it. I was like, same. No ChatGPT, no nothing. But now, I guess I am trying to do a little bit of more research to understand how AI works. I know. It's harmful for the environment, which was like one of the biggest reasons why I was like, we really shouldn't be using this because aren't we being told that there are very, very big negative effects on the environment that are caused by using AI? But now I guess the more I see how institutions specifically are pushing for the AI integration and, you know, relaxing of the AI detection things, I don't know how to feel. I'm still very big, no ChatGPT, none, and all of that, excuse me. But I don't know. What about you? What has been your experience with it?
For me, it's similar to yours. I feel like in undergrad, I was like, no AI. Like, even when it came to, like, referencing, I was very much so, like, I do it by hand. Still today, I do it by hand because it's just habit at this point. But now, stepping into post-grad and kind of, like, understanding AI more, like, I'm starting to understand, okay, how can it guide you?
Yeah.
How can it, like, make it easier? Because I remember, actually, I was actually so, like, shell-shocked when this happened. I think I was having a consultation with one of my supervisors, and she kind of showed me how to use AI in an ethical way, in a sense of, like, as a way to guide what you're trying to say and how to structure everything. But at the same time, still having it to do, in a sense, it's still your work, of course.
Maintaining that integrity of it.
And I was like, okay, this is interesting. Like, because, like, when you use it as a guiding thing, it does actually help. Because sometimes you're like, okay, it's research time or it's assignment time. And you just, like, you have so many thoughts, but how to kind of go about it.
Like, where to start also is quite difficult. In undergrad, I really was against it, but now I'm kind of like, okay.
We can work with it.
How are we going to do this? And I know I've been personally using it a lot to edit. It just makes things so much easier. Well, it's still my work, but like, anything that I may have missed, any grammatical issues or errors, then an AI tool.
AI's got us, you know?
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting, and I feel like, I mean, also because for me, sometimes I use AI on a more personal level. Like,
personal?
In a sense of, like, you know, I am part of that people who will drop some tea with AI. You just vent. Gossip. Oh. I do. Like, it's fun because, do you? Okay.
No, I'm terrified of that. Well, I think it's a little bit dangerous. I think it's a little bit harmful.
True. Like, I make sure not to tell everything, but just, like, general things. Like, if I need advice on something, like, okay.
Guys.
I'm going to use code names. I'm not going to mention locations. Yeah. I'm just going to be like, hypothetically, A plus B equals C. So
I have a friend.
And then I'll be like, okay, so at the end of the day, you can do whatever you want, but this is what I would advise. It's interesting to get that opinion. Because also, I will say, from doing that sometimes, I feel like it doesn't beat a human, though.
It doesn't beat a human.
Yeah. Like, because a lot of people complain that AI wants to kind of give you the most right ethical answer. It lacks bias. I don't want to drag AI as well, but, like, it kind of lacks that human emotionality. Where it's like, yes, we'll say the right things, but it's like, it doesn't have that thing.
Or is it the right thing?
True.
Or is my thing with AI and people using it for, like, advice, for venting, and, like, maybe even therapy. I've seen people on TikTok talk about how they use AI for therapy. I feel like I don't know. Because at the same time, it is great that people are getting access to, you know, psychological services, because I know it's expensive. I know getting therapy and all of those things, specifically in South Africa, is very, very expensive. So it's great to see that these tools are becoming more accessible. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, it could be a little bit dangerous, because I don't think that, I don't know how to say this without being off.
Just drop it. It's like, a safe space.
I'm just trying to say, maybe if you present a situation to AI and then you say, okay, this is what I'm going through, this is what happened, how likely is the advice or the response you're going to get, how likely is that to be true? I feel like sometimes it will want to tell you what you want to hear, and then you're going to stay in the cycle of, oh no, AI validates my feelings. Oh no, I feel heard. Oh no, AI said it's true, so it must be true. Where I think people are more complex and situations are more nuanced, and they require that human connection, as you were saying. So you can get perspective at the same time. You can get other people to tell you, okay, friend, maybe not that time. Like, maybe maybe you shouldn't have done that. Or, like, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. So I really don't know how to feel.
It is a sticky slope, because AI will... It does gas you up.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it does.
Now imagine we're all using AI, and now we're all right. And that's not how the world works. Like, sometimes we're wrong, and it's okay.
True. And sometimes we need to be told that we're wrong.
Yeah.
In sometimes a brutal way.
Okay, maybe not brutal.
Okay, not too brutal, but just
but like honestly, gently, but honestly.
Yeah. So it's like, it's interesting, it's interesting. Hey, but sometimes, hey, being told the truth in a brutal way.
It's not just being told the truth is difficult in itself.
Yeah.
Like, I know myself, I still struggle with hearing the truth, like, from my friends. I appreciate that I do have friends and family that will be like, no, don't do that, or you were wrong. And that's okay. Like, I'm learning to accept that I'm a person and I'll make these mistakes. It's just up to me to now want to be better and want to grow from that.
True.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm also speaking as a person who's never used AI for therapy, but I've seen some of the things that people have gotten from AI. I remember a few months ago, there was a woman who was training on TikTok because it was a long story, but she basically had said that her therapist or her psychiatrist had fallen in love with her. It was a whole thing, but something that was really interesting was that she also relied on AI to validate these things, and she would go on the AI chat thing and be like, oh, this is what happened, and the AI would come back and validate all of these things, whereas that was her biased interpretation of a situation, which was what was being fed into the AI chat box. And then you see, it was like a whole mess.
Like, it just messed
it was
up
a whole
everything.
Mess. Yeah.
So it's just like, hey. And that can be dangerous, as
it
you said.
It can be very dangerous. So that's why I'm a bit wary.
Of like how not to integrate it, but like to have that
really
boundary.
Internalize, yeah. But it is really great for people to get access to tools, as I said again, to get access to information and to be educated on how to be better. Yeah, it's another thing that needs further research, guys.
True. It needs some further research. Yeah. And it needs caution, but also not fear-mongering. Because I feel like even like a lot of people I've spoken to in the past, it's like very polarizing. Because I feel like us, we're very like in the middle. Like, we see the advantages, we see the disadvantages. Yeah. But like with other people, it's like AI is horrible. Yeah. AI is the way type of thing. Because I know, like, for example, like, some people have experience where they work on a group assignment and then one person's contribution is full on AI.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, okay, well, so what must happen now?
Now you're going to walk away without... Okay, first of all, you're putting your group...
You know, like...
You're putting them in trouble because you've used AI for this assignment. And also, you're going to walk away without having learned anything from this module. Which is scary.
True. And I feel like that's actually a point that people don't really mention, of how, like, I feel like in varsity, we can get caught up with, like, the assignments, the deadlines, the exam, and just spewing the information and going. But I do feel like we tend to forget that we're actually supposed to learn.
Yeah, we're supposed to be taking something away from this experience. It's not just about the marks.
Literally.
So one day, you're going to need to apply all of these things you were getting distinctions for. Yeah.
And then you get to the office, you're like, I don't remember. And it's like, but you did this for 3 years. What are you talking about? And it's like, So I do feel like that's an aspect that does get forgotten about. But then I guess also at the same time, I feel like it also now goes into the other conversation of like, what exactly you're studying? Do you love what you're studying? Yeah. Was it, you know, the, yeah. that type of thing, which yeah. like has so many other factors to it. So it's quite interesting, actually.
It really is. But in terms of it being used, I mean, in terms of universities being more accepting of AI use, that is, it's quite cool to see.
Mm.
I just hope that they can continue to educate and to teach students how to use it ethically.
True.
It's my one thing.
Especially NMU, like, you know, NMU. Hopefully yeah. y'all can get on the train. You know, Turnitin is everybody's enemy at this point.
But the, I think they did update the plagiarism and the AI.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
It's
okay.
been a minute since I've opened Funda because we don't really use it as much in postgrad now.
True.
We don't use it as much.
Once in a while. Yeah, but not.
I do recall seeing that there was something that was updated, like the terms.
Mm.
Yeah. We're almost there.
We're almost there. Yes. Like, and I feel like we're moving slowly but surely. Yeah. We're going there. And I do feel like, yeah, AI is it's such a monster conversation. And I do feel like with varsities being able to kind of address it head on, because I feel like, was it in high school? I think in high school. Yes, back in high school where it's like, you know, certain things that are part of this world will just be like shunned away and just be like, we don't use that here. Like how some schools are just like, we're only going to use pen and paper in education. We're not going to use tablets. Okay. We're not going to use computers. Yeah. Like, we got to, and I do see the value in that because there is that argument of like, oh yes, you know, the children don't know how to read and write anymore.
Because the children don't know how to read and write.
And that's a valid thing. They don't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, they need to learn how to read and write, but also know how to use technology type of thing.
Yeah.
But then now there's also
there really are two sides to it, especially with AI now. We were speaking about university students. But now if we go a bit back and look at high school students and look at senior primary school students, what does using AI look like for them?
True.
Because if we're gonna say universities are gonna integrate AI use at, you know, university level, then obviously these are things that they would need to get taught at a foundational level so they're not left behind by the time they're transitioning.
Definitely.
So what does that look like when I feel like there are already so many issues with the quality of education, of basic education in the country, where, you know, teachers and research is coming up and saying that the literacy levels are not where they should be.
Mm.
How will AI then impact that?
True. And also, hey, you're cooking there, like, you're cooking there, like, especially also the other conversation as well of like accessibility.
Yeah,
because you could be like, we're teaching AI, but it's like, if the school doesn't even have electricity or running water,
what are we talking about right now? Like, what are we talking about, the fourth industrial revolution? There's no doors on the classroom.
Hey, so it's just like, hey, you see South Africa sometimes. Like,
one step forward,
one step at a time.
Three, I don't know.
It's quite interesting, and it's just like, yeah.
But again, the optimism. There's
that optimism.
There's gonna be something. There's gonna be a breakthrough, I believe. I really hope. Yeah.
I hope to.
Yeah. Well, it's up to us.
True.
Future researchers.
Like, it's up to us to make that change. It's no longer the older generation.
No, we'll just, no, we must influence. We were literally talking about how the youth is taking stands and we're taking things into our own hands. We have the power.
And with such power comes great responsibility.
Exactly.
The question is, do we want to take responsibility?
We have to.
Ooh.
I don't think it's a matter of wanting to. Because if we don't, then what's going to happen?
True. If we're just like, it's okay. Life is just like this, then nothing changes.
Yeah.
And we want change.
We do.
Change is coming tomorrow. Is that what the song says, actually?
Freedom.
Ooh.
Close, though. It's very, very close.
Very close, but
We may not even be thinking of the same song. So there's that, too.
But I think I was thinking of that song, the one where it's always playing around Freedom Day and stuff like
freedom
that.
Freedom is coming tomorrow.
Was it in Serafina?
Yeah. It was in Serafina.
I don't think of... Actually...
Finish the sentence.
This is going to be a very controversial sentence, but I don't think I've actually ever fully from start to finish watched Serafina.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I watch it every Youth Day, June 16. I'm there. I think they screened it on ETV still. I'm there.
I think I need to hop on this train because like every time people talk about moments.
This weekend, I'm kidnapping you at some point. You have to watch it. Start to finish, one go.
I can't even tell you what it's about.
But I'm not judging you. It's okay.
It's okay. I'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah. We'll watch
Sarafina. I'm going to kidnap you one of these days.
I'm going to watch it.
Yes.
You Sarafina.
Another great example of what happens when students take a stand and they fight for what they believe in. Oh, you haven't watched the movie? Okay. When you watch the movie, this will make more sense.
It'll come back to me. Okay, so this is what she's talking about. You know, I see this, so... Yeah. Quite interesting. But, you know, it's been quite an interesting conversation, actually. Like, I feel like with the whole taking action as students and the AI conversation, I do feel like what we can learn from both is the fact of, like, taking action and the idea and concept of change.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, there's always going to be change in life. Sometimes change can happen in good times. Sometimes change can happen in bad times. And sometimes we need to enact the change.
Mm.
And we got to be those people to be in front and be like, change needs to happen.
Yeah.
And we need to cook.
That's literally like my biggest takeaway from the conversation today is realizing that we do have the power to influence change.
Mm.
We just need to start. Or we need to figure out how best we can do that in the positions we already occupy, the spaces we're already in, and just trying to really work together and come together to better society. Because, I mean, this is where we're going to live. This is our society. This is our world. So at some point, we're going to need to start having actual input, and see how we want the world to be.
Exactly. So it's like, we can't be latent forever. We have to make a difference. And I feel like we got it in us.
We do.
Like, I'm still proud of... NMU, actually.
Yeah.
Like, that strike on the other day was like, okay. And the numbers, I'm still
Yeah, I was quite shocked by the numbers because they had only announced it a couple of hours before.
Literally.
But seeing the students really come together was amazing.
Full thing. But of course, this has been the Weekday Shake. We've had amazing conversations. Uyanda, where can they find you on all the social media platforms?
You can find me on all social media platforms. That would be Instagram, TikTok, and X at Uyanda, @_ at the end. And on Facebook, it is Mlibo Mancinyana.
Period. World-class content creator.
That's what I'm talking about. Upcoming.
Not even upcoming.
Like, follow, subscribe.
You push content, girl, and it's amazing.
Thank
it's amazing.
You.
I love it. Of course, you can find me on Instagram at Katel.Cigo and on Facebook at Cigo K in Dlovu. But this has been the Weekday Shake. Of course, we love you. And
so much.
You know, we love Madiba's Radio too because interact with us on all social media pages.
Of course, do not forget to follow Madiba's Radio social media pages at Madiba's Radio on Instagram, on TikTok, and on X as well.
We're everywhere. You cannot escape us, you know? So if you want to engage with us, or even engage with us personally, and share your opinions. We like Endeavors. So,
yeah,
you know.
You see we're already here talking, yapping. Let's engage. Let's connect.
How? Continue the conversation.
Exactly.
But of course, same time, same place. This has been the Weekday Shake, and we are saying
bye.
The best youth station in the Bay. Madiba's Radio.